Now you see, with a theme like we've got this year, you would expect any preacher to come out and start laying down a load of rules and regulations of what you need to do to get fully committed. That you need to give more, that you need to do more, that you need to be more. And to be quite honest, folks, when I was looking at the theme and thinking about it, they were the first things that came into my mind. Is this what we are supposed to do to be fully committed? And the answer came back as clear as anything, N-O, which means no. And I looked up the meaning of the Greek word no, and it means no. So I want you to know this morning you've got some theology coming out from the Greek as well, which I've studied with great intense down at a local restaurant. You see, that's how most people view that we're fully committed by what we do, by the effort that we put in. But you see, being fully committed doesn't start at that place. Because the pattern for being fully committed is to actually observe some things that the Bible reveals to us. And if you've not seen this before, this is a little thing called a sketch board. And I'm going to put some blobs of black paint in. And if you blink and look again, but not at the black, at the white, you'll see some words appearing. And you'll hear people who have never seen this around you go, ooh, right? And you'll read words in English without an accent. That's incredible. Oh, you're catching on. Can you read that word? No, it's the. The? I think you've swallowed the Queen James version. The King James version. I'm thinking about monarchy once again because you've just gone through National Rebellion Day on the 4th of July. The nature, you're good. The nature of God. Because you see, where does fully commitment come from? It comes by looking at the nature and the very character of God. Because you see, God never forces anybody to be fully committed. He doesn't stand there with a big stick and say, you better shape up, boy, or else. You see, I was brought up with an image of God, that God was angry. And that he was upstairs and thunderbolt and lightning came from God. And if you were out in an open space and it was lightning, you better say your prayers very fast. Because if God wanted to get you, he could get you right now and you would be frying tonight. He was an angry God. And then I was also given the impression that Jesus was a mean Jesus. He was always in moods. He was sulking. And he would be kicking things around in heaven. And the Holy Spirit, well, he never got a mention because nobody could really get an idea of who he was. He sort of came, he went. He was a bit like the Scarlet Pimpernel, if you've ever seen that. Who was? He's gone. We don't know what he's like. And it was always, you must do things to impress God, to show your commitment. And then I became a Christian. And God was no longer angry and Jesus was no longer moody. But everything still depended on what I did to show that I was fully committed. If you're really committed, Paul, then you will spend time reading the word, praying, fasting, giving, witnessing, working, killing yourself early to show that you're fully committed. And I realized that wasn't God's plan. I'm glad I came to that realization fairly early on because the nature of God says, hey, I'm not like that. And you see what God does when you look at who he is. And so many of us miss this in the Christian life and within the church. That when we look at the very nature of God, we see that he's a God who shows first and foremost that as a father, he is committed fully to you without the guarantee of anything back. That blows us away. Because so often we get told, well, if you fast, you'll get this from God. So it's dependent on me getting something from God. God's never said that. If you give to God, God will give you 10 times more back. That's not giving, that's investment. If you send the tele-evangelist that $50, he'll send you this healing cloth, and you can put it into your pillar, and you can know the healing presence of God. Save your money, folks. Don't fall for it. It's rubbish. Now, that might offend some of you, but I don't need a healing cloth from a tele-evangelist. I don't need miracle manna. Because I've got a father who says, Paul, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. And I've discovered this, that even before I became a Christian, back in 1972, God was fully committed to me then. And something dawned on me last year, that back in 1960, when I was not even thinking about becoming a Christian, that God loved me as much then as he does today. Wow. Because he's fully committed to me. And it's not dependent upon me. You see, back in the Garden of Eden, God shows his commitment. Adam and Eve break his only command. They listen to the lie of the devil. They eat the tree, they eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what does God do? He doesn't send them into the fiery pit. He doesn't fry them on the spot. He says, I'm really sorry about this, but you're going to have to put on these animal skins, because where you're going, I'm sending you out of the garden. It's going to be cold and hard, and the whole of creation is fell because of you. But I'm committed to you. And someday in the future, I'm going to come as a man, because nobody else can do it. And I'm going to pay the penalty for your crime, your sin, your wrongdoing, because I'm fully committed to you. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But I'm just going to do it because I'm fully committed. What a God. So you see, folks, right on this first full day of iFest, I want to take some pressure off you. There's nothing you can do to impress God. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to get God to act more on your behalf than he already wants to, because he's fully committed to you. So why am I committed to God? Because with a commitment like that, I want to respond to it. It's not to get anything more from him, because I can't get anything more. I've got the lot. Because he said the whole resource of heaven is available to all those who believe. That means you. And you see what God does? He says, I'll let you into something else as well. I want you to see that I reveal myself through my names. He says that's why throughout the Old Testament he gives many and varied different names to show aspects of his nature for you and for me. He says, I'm the Lord who's your shield. So when the enemy's coming at you, he says, I'll shield you. You can't earn that. I'll just be your shield. He says, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord who's your provider. He doesn't say, I'll provide if you tithe and then I'll give you 10 times more back. He just says, I'm the Lord who's your provider. He doesn't stipulate it. See, so often we narrow it down in the church to think that just means finance. But nowhere in the context of that name does it just mean finance. It means I'm the provider for whatever you need. So what do you need this week? He says, I'm the provider. I can do it because I'm Almighty God. And I do it because I'm fully committed to my kids. I'm fully committed to my creation. So this week, you can go through this week knowing that God is absolutely 100% committed fully to you. He wants the best for you. He's got the best for you. There's nothing you can do to earn it. He doesn't withhold something because he looks at you and he says, oh, you're just an ordinary puppeteer. You could get more if you were a puppet team leader. And then if you were a real upfront performer, you'd get even more. And if you were a preacher, God's man of power for the hour, whoa, you could really tap into the resources and be a blessing to everybody else. No, God says, all who come, I will provide. If anybody asks, he will receive. I like that deal. You see, because it cuts out the middleman. When I was brought up, there was always a middleman. I don't like middlemen. I like to deal with the top. If I've got a problem in a store, I say, can I see the manager? I get more done. So I don't want to talk to somebody. I want to go straight to my Father in heaven because I know his nature. What's his nature? He's good. He's good all the time. And you see, we need to understand that. That his fully commitment towards you and me is his goodness towards us. That's revealed in his names. But you see, so often we mess it up in our minds. Because I hear Christians saying things like, oh, you know, Brother Paul, I've got this sickness that God's given me to make me a better person. I've never seen a sick person who's a better person, have you? They're usually pretty miserable because they don't like being sick. And here's the other problem. How can God give you something he ain't got? You see, we don't think about that in the church. Oh, God's given me this sickness. I don't ever see the angel Gabriel say, I'm sorry, God. I can't go on that mission down to the Virgin Mary this week. I'm full of flu. You know, the AC in heaven's just been a bit low this week. And you know, I never see in scriptures the angels having a day off because they've got a cold or flu. Because they don't have it in heaven. Why does it tell us in the book of Revelation? He'll wipe away every tear. There'll be no more pain or suffering. Why? Because God ain't got that. And when we look at his nature and his names, we see that he's good and all he wants to do is good things. So why do we attribute bad things to God? Because we've not understood his nature. And we still think we've got to prove ourselves to him. You can't prove anything to him. Because he loves you just the same. You might never do anything for him, but it won't diminish his love. He'll still love you just the same because he's fully committed to you. And with God, he isn't going to go back on his word. His yes is yes. His promises. Oh, I'm running ahead of myself because some of you will come to me afterwards and say, what were those other words up there? And you'll haunt me around the campus. You see, he makes promises that he keeps. Why does God make promises? Because he's fully committed. And that's why the Apostle Paul in the New Testament says, every promise of God is yes, and I agree in Christ Jesus. Because he doesn't give you little clauses. It's not like an insurance policy where you've got to read the fine print. Because he says, I'm totally, I'm fully, I'm 100% committed to you. You know, I found this, that even when I've sinned and when I've doubted, that God hasn't diminished his commitment to me. I've still found that God does things. You see, sometimes people say to you, oh, but brother, if you're not walking right with God, God will get you. And then I look at Bible stories and I see Elijah running away from God, going into a depression, going under a tree and saying, okay, God, kill me. And God doesn't say, okay, that's a fair deal. You've run away. Blast. No, he sends an angel and says, hey, have some of this cake. It's really good. Angel cake. And Elijah says, what manner of food is this? And the angel says, it's not manner, it's angel cake. Just eat. You see, never once does he get condemned because God is 100% committed to him. He's fully committed. When Peter denies him, does the Lord ever bring it up and say, no, you better get your act together, boy, else I'm going to give you a whopping? No, he doesn't. He just says, feed my sheep. He restores him. Why? Because he's the restorer. What do we see in the names and the promises of God? That he's good all the time because he's 100% committed. He doesn't want to beat you down with a load of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. He wants to lift you up. How does he lift you up? With the expression of his love that says, nothing you can do can make me love you more. Nothing you can do can make me pour out my affection on you more. So why don't we receive it all? Is it because we're not fully committed? No, it's because we don't fully believe that what God has said and what he has promised and revealed in his names that we can receive. And that's why Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you will not see the kingdom of God. What did he mean? You'll not get the benefits if you don't have that simplicity of faith of seeing, hey, my Father in heaven is a good daddy. That's why Jesus told the disciples to pray, Father. That was a mind-blowing experience for the Jewish people, calling God daddy. He was no longer far away in a cloud and fire on the mountain, but he was making him personal, daddy. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Why? Why could he say that? Because he was Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Meet my needs. Lead us not into temptation. Why? Because you're my refuge and my shield, my very present help in time of trouble. Because you're good all the time. What did Jesus come and do? Revealed the nature of God. That God wasn't there with a stick saying, oh, you better be totally committed or else. Or else at that 11th hour and the 59th minute, you might just blow it and you might be burning. What sort of a God's that? I can't trust that sort of a God where I can't know that I'm safe in his hands, held in his arm, or as the Old Testament says, in the shadow of his wing. Because he's fully committed. And this day, maybe some of these things are a mind-blowing concept that God isn't there with rules and regulations. But all he wants is relationship. Because you see, the things that God commands are easy to do when you've got relationship, because you want to please him. Because you know it's not a burdensome thing. That's why Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, you who are pressed down and beat up, you who are tired of carrying on these rules to try and get something from God, come to me, I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because you're yoked to him. Why not throughout the course of this day just say, Father, would you reveal some more of your nature, of your names, and of your promises into my life? And help me understand that I've got the same access before your throne room, before your throne, as anybody else. Because you welcome me. Because you're 100% committed. If God has opened up the way, and I believe what the Bible says, you see. I believe the index. I believe the maps. I believe everything in the Bible. Everything, even the printer's notes at the front. I believe it all because it's in the Bible. And if he says that nothing in the whole of creation can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, who am I as a mere man to disagree with God? Because his nature says, I'm 100% fully committed to your welfare and your whole being. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this day that you are a good God. We would ask you forgiveness for the times that we've made judgments against you that are not true or correct. And we pray, Father, that this day, that the revelation of the nature and the names and the promises and the purposes and the plans of God would drop into each one of our lives. More and more. We thank you again, Lord, that we cannot earn your love or merit your favor, but that you give it freely to each one of us. Help us to receive it with open arms, for we ask it in the name of Jesus.